This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Well, good morning, everybody. I am Glenn the Geek from Ocala, Florida.
And I'm Brooke Beers from Dunellen, Florida, and you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for September 27th, episode 1529. This episode is brought to you by Horsewear. Good morning, Horse World!
Well, welcome everybody, and thank you so much for tuning in this morning. It is Western Day. Women in Rodeo is taking a break. They're usually here the fourth Tuesday of every month. But now we're going to be doing some Western episodes for the next couple of months. And I have joining me here today somebody who's been on our shows before. And you all know her from the Horse Holster. Her name is Brooke Beers. Hi, Brooke.
Hi. Hi, everybody.
She's co-hosting with me today because she's kind of a Western girl. And she's here in the studio. That
Yay!
Never happens. You live real close to here.
I live 25 minutes away.
I'm so excited. We don't often get to have anybody here. So
yeah, this is great. I actually thought that I was a little further out, but it only took me 25 minutes.
Yeah, it's not that far.
No,
not that far to get here. Well, we're so glad you're in the studio. I actually get to look at you.
Yes.
I never get to look at my co-host. So that's kind of fun. And it's your first time co-hosting.
This is my first time.
We're going to learn a little bit more about you as the show goes on, because you're doing some fun stuff right now, taking some clinics on something that I think fascinates everybody. So yeah. We'll talk about that and whether you've injured yourself doing it.
Not yet.
Not
I'm
yet.
Knocking on wood. I'm knocking on this table.
It's a good chance, though. Good chance. So we'll talk about that a little bit later. Plus, Jennifer, we have a ton of guests on our first Western Day.
It's going to be a very busy show. And on today's Horsewear Western Adventure Tuesday, we'll chat with rodeo photographer David Hollenbach, whose dramatic photo of a rodeo queen turned bronc rider most likely came across your Facebook feed. And then next up, Sissy Smith King, president of the Western Oklahoma Ranch Horse Association. Say that three times fast. She's going to stop by for a little chat. And then after the break, Ultimate Horsemanship Challenge winner Joe Williams is going to stop by and tell us about the ride for Katie. And pulling into the show at the last minute, tires flat, is Mary Kitzmiller, and she has a live report from the Central Washington State Fair. So stay tuned for the fray, folks.
Don't say that tires flat thing, because the last time Mary went to Washington, she had like several flat tires. So I think you were a little too close to reality. She's probably just cringing right now, hoping that she gets home from Washington State to Texas without flat tires on the trailer. Well, Brooke, we're so excited to have you here.
Thank you.
We did a little video when we were at ADA that went viral.
It did. It sure did. And we appreciate everybody that took the time to watch it and learn a little more about the holster.
And I'm not quite sure why it went viral, other than you're good looking. It certainly wasn't me. So I think that's why it went viral. And the product, you know, I think that's the other thing. You have quite a following with the horse holster.
Thank you. It really took off. It's been about 9 months now.
Well, before we get into horse holster, though, I have to ask you about this. You have a new hobby. First, tell us about your horse.
My horse, her name is Missy. She is a 17-year-old 14-hand POA, Pony of the Americas.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so she's a little Spitfire. She is actually my very first horse. And really? She is. I got her 7 years ago and started riding with her, learned everything with her, on her, and, you know, started my whole hobby with her. And, you know, my goal was to have fun and see what I can learn with her and
now
what I can
not
do
short.
With her.
Do you look big on her?
I don't
know. No, she does not.
I hope not. Yeah, she's a little smaller, but I loved her personality, and honestly, her spunk makes up for her size. She does not know that half the time she's the smallest
no,
one
no
out there.
No, no pony does.
Oh, no. Yeah. Oh, no. Yeah. She definitely has that
Missy
pony
has
attitude.
Moxie.
Yeah.
She is definitely bossy.
Well, what's your new hobby with
her? So my new hobby that I recommend anybody, you know, to definitely try this out is the mounted archery, which I know when I was here and joined the show in January, I talked a little bit about it. And I had just kind of started to venture into that world. But I started with, you know, the ground archery and learning the recurve bow. And then I had met a couple people that started, you know, doing it from horseback. And I thought, wow, that looks really interesting. And it's, you know, challenging. It's kind of a whole art, you know, form in its own. But I said, you know, I'd love to be able to see if I can make this work. And so ironically, when I moved from up north, because I'm originally from Delaware, and I moved down to this area, there is a group of avid mounted archers right here in Ocala.
And actually, they're on the road we go to Walmart. They're along the road we go to Walmart.
Yes.
And they built this beautiful archery, mounted archery range. I mean, it's beautiful.
And that is...
They spent time and money on that baby.
Yes. Yes. And that is actually where I board my horse.
Oh, is it?
It is. Yes. My horse is there.
I see your horse out there all the time.
Yes. Then. Now I have access to that course. And they built... It's a straight course. So it's actually measured to be, you know, what... one of those courses would be correctly, you know, with the targets being measured out appropriately. So they are looking at doing a clinic. We've got one scheduled for October 15th and 16th. So we're going to do one there. So anybody that's interested in trying it out, we have Lucas, who is the top mounted archer here in the U.S., who just happens to live in Florida as well, not too far from this area. And he's going to come out and teach the clinic. So we're super excited. It's a niche thing, but it's growing. So we've got
a lot of people talking about it. Now, you haven't shot yourself in the foot yet.
Not yet.
Okay. Or no. The horse in the head.
No.
Okay, good. That's good. Your pony appreciates that.
Yes, but you do a lot of desensitizing.
Yeah, I was
going to
ask you, what did you do to desensitize the pony?
You just start slow. You can flick, you know, the string on the bow and just kind of get them used to hearing those sounds, because once you're sitting on their back and you release an arrow from their back, they're now, you know, hearing that release. They're hearing the flicker of the string and then
the arrow
coming off.
But they're also seeing this thing fly into their
sight
of
vision. So you do a lot of, you know, just having the bow around their face, walking with the bow in your hand, you know, and there's different lengths of them. But and people prefer to shoot with shorter length ones, longer length ones. But yeah, you do a lot of that smaller desensitizing, and then you just start slow. Now, the mounted archers that are awesome and very talented at this, I mean, they gallop. They shoot targets at a full gallop on their horse.
You're not there yet?
I am not there yet. No, we are walking the course. you want to start slow with it. There's a lot to it. There's a lot of things going on. One of the biggest challenges is you drop the reins. So you now are focusing on your target. You've got, you know, your quiver with your arrows. You've got your bow in the other hand. And you want to be on a horse that knows that when you drop the reins and have them secured, you know, around your horn, that they don't take off with you.
Now, is it all straight line patterns with archery, or is there turns?
There are different ones. Okay. But yeah, so there's different types of courses. But the one that we are going to do the clinic on and learn with would be the straight course. But there are groups that kind of have turns through the woods and have, you know, paths set up that way. So there's different.
Well, I noticed that when they built the course and you saw the targets up there and everything, at first they didn't have big earthen backdrops behind each. And then you started and now they built big earthen backdrops. Is that just so you don't have to go so far to get the arrows, Brooke?
Yes. Yeah.
Just kidding.
Well, and usually you do have to go searching for arrows if, you know, you make a bad shot, because you're now moving. So you have to do some compensating.
Right.
You know, if you're just standing in front of a target on the ground, you might aim a certain direction, but now you're moving. So you almost have to aim a little back.
Yeah, most of the mounted shooters that are really good say they can't shoot from the ground. They have to be moving.
Right. Yeah. It's different. Yeah. It is very different, but it's so much
but
fun
not only
to
that,
learn.
You have to take the arrow out of the quiver, which is on your side.
Yes.
Not on your back.
It's on your side. So okay. It's kind of right at your hip.
So you're pulling it out. You have to, I don't, what's the term for putting the arrow in the string?
Well, you would knock it.
Yeah, okay,
But you learn quick loading drills. So there's actually a couple different ways that you can knock your arrow on the string. And so in the clinic, we, you know, we teach a couple different ways to do it. The goal is to do it as quick as possible, you know, as safe as possible.
While riding your horse, trying to keep him from
leaving
town.
While riding your horse with no reins in your hand. Right. Exactly. Right. So there's a lot
going
on.
So you do a lot of practicing with your pony with the no reins thing, you know, without the bow and arrow, just practicing that run?
Yes. Okay. Yes. So we'll just take a trip down the course and we'll just get her used to being on it because it's something that, you know, she's never done before. So yeah, it's slow. You know, you want to just work up to it because it is a lot going on at once. And then you also want to practice your shooting, you know, as well. So
yeah, that's
but it's
kind of
fun.
Important.
It's very empowering. It's fun, you know, it's, and once the horses kind of, you know, learn their role, it's fun.
Wait, I know I've seen them out there doing it, and I have never seen one in person, like a competition, but it just, like the with the mounted shooters, they all seem to be having a great time. You know,
oh, yeah. It's all about fun.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's just different, you know, it's something.
Now, like the mounted shooters, do they wear costumes in the competitions?
Yes.
What do they wear?
Oh, yeah. All different styles, but mounted archery is considered like a form of martial arts. So whereas somebody
it's an Asian
in martial
sort of
arts,
Oriental
right.
Thing.
Well, and they would wear a gi. So they would wear you know, like the traditional style gi with the kind of with a belt.
Which is
like
kind of the Asian martial art.
Right. So you would see
Right.
You would see somebody in more of the martial arts world wearing that style of gi. So that in turn kind of crosses over into the mounted archery because it's technically a form of martial arts. So and there's a lot of different styles of outfits. And some of the horses have, you know, headgear on and just, you can get, you know, people get really creative with it and have a lot of fun with it. So I don't have, that's one thing that I don't have yet. So I have to kind of, you know, accessorize my,
you have to make
my,
an outfit.
My outfit. Yeah. And, you know, there's a medieval event coming up in Gainesville, Florida in February. So I'm probably going to head over to that and see if I can.
At the Renaissance Fair?
Yeah, the Renaissance Fair. Yeah. And maybe I can pick up some pieces and, you know.
Oh, yeah. You'll be able to pick up a lot of stuff there.
Yeah.
It's a little different than the 30 years ago when we used to work Renaissance Fairs when there were no clothing vendors. We had to all make our own.
Yeah.
It's a little different now. No, you should be fine there. Very cool.
Yeah, but it's fun. I mean, if anybody wants to come, we're actually looking for more, I think, more riders to come out and do the clinic. It's right now, it's a 2-day clinic.
When is that going to be?
It's October 15th and 16th, and it is at that property on 484.
In Ocala.
Yep.
And where do people find out more about it if they want to check it out?
It's right now, it's going around on Facebook. I don't think there's an actual website that you can go to, but okay. I can always share the information with you guys. And then
and they could go to what's your website again? Horseholster.com?
Horseholster.com.
They can go there and contact you through the website
right.
too if they have any questions about
right.
If they're in the area and want to do the clinic. I don't know that Jennifer. I, you know, what do you think? Should you and Nigel do that, or are you afraid of shooting your foot off or his ear off? I'm not sure. We might have to practice a little first. Maybe practice on the ground before you go to the clinic.
Well, and that's usually what they do. Yeah. One day will be the groundwork. They'll position a barrel, and then you just sit sideways on a barrel to simulate, you know, sitting on a horse, and then you shoot at the target just to kind of get the feeling of it. They also have a mechanical horse. So Connie and Doran own that property, and they are wonderful, wonderful, wonderful people. And they have competed in other countries in the mounted archery. And it's really big in Hungary and Turkey. You can go to Australia.
Korea too, right? Korea,
yes.
Yeah.
Yes. So, and it's kind of, you know, starting to branch out here in the U.S., but they actually have a mechanical horse on the property. So
oh, that's cool.
Right. They have a four wheeler. I did it. It's different because you're
and does
not,
it buck?
It does not buck.
Okay. All right,
nope. It stays straight, stays flat. And so they pull it on a four wheeler. They have a four wheeler that pulls this little trailer that has a barrel with a saddle on it.
Oh, cool.
And so you can kind of just get the feeling of being up,
yeah,
you know, in
and
that position. And then shooting. And you actually, for, you know, English riders that get into the 2-point seat, when you go to shoot the target, you actually come out almost into a 2-point to shoot. So, which is another reason why you want a very well-behaved horse. Because
are they doing it in a Western saddle, an English saddle, or both?
You could do it in an English saddle, but usually it's done Western. In the Western, right?
Well, that's so cool.
Yeah.
Well, good for you. I'm so
we're learning and Missy's learning and it's a lot of fun.
Very cool.
Yeah.
And you know what? Your pony would be perfect for that, because not being a super tall pony would actually probably be a help when you're first getting started in a sport like that.
Yeah.
And the targets are kind of at eye level now.
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
Which could be good. Nobody needs to stand on the other side.
Right. So far, so good. So you're going to keep going with it. And
yay for you.
Yay.
You got a lot of cool things going on in your life right now. And we're going to talk about one of those other things coming up in a minute. And I have to ask you, because Jamie yesterday on the show said she wanted a horse holster, but I'll talk to you about it after. We have a guest here. Let's bring our first guest on. Recently, we all saw the photos of the rodeo queen who went for a wild ride at a show. And today we have with us the photographer who took those photos. He's a rodeo photographer. His name is David Hollenbach. David, good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Good. Thank you so much for joining us today. Those have to be your most viral photos ever.
Yeah, they did get a few views.
Yeah.
Just a few.
I mean, we covered this story when they first came out, and then, I mean, national networks were posting them. It was just everywhere.
Oh, I didn't realize it went that big.
I think we saw it on the Daily Mail. I think it was on the Daily Mail out of the UK. So, yeah, it went big.
Wow.
So now tell us, what was the story, first of all, this poor rodeo queen? What exactly happened?
Well, Sari is a very experienced rider. She's been involved in horses all her life. And this is a horse that she's had for quite a while. And he's never really offered to do anything like this before. But when she came in the arena, there was the big jumbotron on the TV. Mm-hmm. And it kind of, as soon as she kind of broke around the corner, the horse saw that and it changed. It must have changed color. And that was something that he had never experienced before, is all that she could think of. But he just kind of blew up, and she just handled it like a champ. I was really impressed. I just happened to be in the arena getting ready for the grand entry, and you never really expect something like that, but you got to kind of be prepared for whatever happens. So
yeah, you had your camera ready, because you got the pictures through the whole thing, and it was quite dramatic when you see the pictures. And give her credit for riding the full 8 seconds, huh? Well,
15 seconds,
15
right?
Seconds?
I think she
is that what it was.
I think it. Yeah, after they went back.
Oh,
and
she got bonus points then, David.
Yeah, the kind of the joke was that was the best ride of the night. But, you know, the rest of the night was bull riding, but no, she did. She's a horseman. There was a lot of negative. I don't know if I'd say a lot of negative if you put it into percentage, but there were some negative comments on Facebook, and a few of those. I did have to respond to one or two, but
you know what though, and that's the reason we wanted to have you or her on, is because there's always a story behind why a horse does something like this. And, you know,
it's, yeah.
And all of our horses have done it. Mine has bolted into the other lane of traffic on the road. You know, it was for a stupid rustling of leaves in the woods. You know, it's just, you never know what's going to set even the quietest of horses off.
True.
Yeah, they're animals. They've got their own mind.
You know, a lot of dressage riders have to get used to, if they're doing an indoor show, a lot of indoors have mirrors. And if your horse hasn't seen a mirror before, they tend not to want to bolt or buck, but they'll stop and stare at it. And we've had that experience before. I had a Percheron we took to a dressage show, and actually he got a blue ribbon, Percheron. He was like 18 and a half hands. And he was in the walk trot class, and he got in there and he stopped and stared at himself in the mirror. So, you know, you just never know what's going to do it. And I'm sure with photography, you've seen a lot of different things.
Oh yeah. There's a lot of things. One of the things that can happen during the rodeo, for the most part, I shoot just rodeos and bull ridings. But in the rodeos, the barrel racing, a lot of times towards the end of it, they start loading bulls. And, of course, the barrel's right close to the bucking chutes. And so sometimes that creates some issues. Most of those barrel horses, though, are pretty used to the noises and the animals in the chutes. But occasionally, in a little rodeo in Superior that I do, the royalty, they run down the calves, and sometimes there's some rough stock in the arena just before the rodeo starts for the bareback, and they'll be rattling the chutes, and sometimes there's some wild rides there too for the queens and princesses. And but
it's dangerous to be,
you know, once these horses.
It sounds like it
can be, yeah.
That's a little more dangerous than, you know, falling off the catwalk for Miss America, right? It's like
a little bit, yeah. Yeah.
How did you get into...
But it
I was just going to ask you how you got into rodeo photography in the first place.
Well, my son, from the time that he could talk, he was going to be a bull rider. And
oh, that makes every
my
wife's
happy. Family.
That's yeah. Every parent's dream.
Well, and he was afraid of our tame cows for many years, but he was going to be a bull rider. And so about 7 years old, he started riding steers and just progressed into riding bulls. And then when he was about a sophomore in high school, he started riding saddle bronc. But it was around that time, about 6-7 years ago, that I just decided that I wanted to try and capture some pictures of him, and so we'd have some keepsakes, and bought a Canon, a little T2I Canon, and started taking pictures. I was fortunate enough to have some mentors along the way. There's some folks here in Dillon, and Gail Molino is a very well-known photographer, and she kind of took me under her wings a little bit, and even Jackie Jensen, who's a pretty well-known photographer out there right now for the PRCA. They kind of helped me out a little bit, gave me pointers, and with that, you know, you have to kind of respect their position. So I would take pictures right alongside of them, and then they would kind of help me critique them, and then I'd also talk with my son and ask him how I did. Of course, that was probably the most critiquing I got. But it just kind of started as I wanted to capture my son, and then pretty quick, other kids were asking about pictures, and I would definitely show them pictures. I would not sell pictures if I was working alongside one of the professional photographers, and then it just kind of developed into where I could actually do the event myself, and just really in the last couple of years, the last year, I've gotten the website going, and it's just kind of taken off from there. I wouldn't say that I'm full-time, because I do have a day job, work for a telephone company, and that kind of helps to pay the bills. So,
very cool. I know it's tough. It's even tough to make a living as a photographer nowadays, with everything has changed like it has. But you did a great job with catching it at the right time and becoming the most famous equestrian photographer for your 15 minutes of fame. I know this thing just went nuts on Facebook and everywhere. It really did. And it was just one of those things, well, you know, it happens, right?
It does. And there's still comments about 10 every day, and a lot of likes still, and I mean, it's just keep trickling in.
Well, let's give her a shout out too. Her name is it Sari?
Sari, yes.
Sari, is it McCullum?
Sari, yes.
McCullum, Sari McCullum, yes, and good job, girl, for riding that one.
Awesome job!
It's not too many
super
people
impressed.
Are going to ride that one for 15 seconds and stay
and
on.
This rodeo was her last weekend as queen for the Ravalli County Fair. But she is the queen for the Missoula Stampede PRCA rodeo for the year. So,
okay, but how did she feel about all of these pictures going so viral? What happened with in her mind and in her world?
Well, it was kind of funny because we posted them on Facebook, and I tagged her and her mother, and didn't think anything of it because I've never seen this kind of result. And pretty quick, she comes back and she says, my phone's exploding. Because every like, every comment, everything on that original post, because they were tagged in it, they would get notifications. And so, yeah, they had over 300,000 notifications before the weekend.
Wow.
She's not going to live that one down ever, either. You know that, right? But she wrote it. I mean, yeah. That's
she
the amazing
did.
Part.
She, it never came out of the seat. I mean, it. Looking at the pictures, that was so impressive.
It really was.
Well, and it broke the buckle on her shaps, and she lost a stirrup. And I had one comment. The gal said, you know, she shouldn't be holding on to that horn. And I had to respond
what?
And say it.
You hold on to anything you can hold on to. Don't hold on to the horn. What kind of idiot statement is that?
I mean, I've seen my wife get her barrel horse started bucking with her once. Or no, I guess it was one of the kids' ponies. And she was about 3 foot off the side. And there was no way that pony was going to buck her off. And she got back on and straightened him out.
Well, I got to tell you, even an English rider's grabbing for some mane. You're holding on to something.
Oh, yeah.
I had to do that once. I was on a huge halflinger with, I mean, like, insanely thick mane. And we got to the top of the hill, and he just went nuts. And I did everything I could to stay on him, including grabbing that lock of hair.
Yeah.
But
I mean, isn't that what it's there for? It's a handle. That's fair. That's why the mains are there.
So.
Well, David, thank you so much. Where can people see your work?
My website is davidhollenbach.zenfolio.com. And I've got, I don't know if I should say my email, but it's just david.hollenbach.photos@gmail.com. And Facebook is David Hollenbach Photography.
Yeah, and we'll post links to your pages and your Facebook page also on our Facebook page, too. David, thank you so much for coming on and clearing the story up and telling everybody what really did happen that day. We really appreciate it.
Well, she's a trooper. She was a little sore for a couple days.
I bet.
Oh, I bet.
I bet she was. And the horse was saying, what happened? What happened?
But what poise? I mean, to not even slow down, she trotted around the arena and gave her welcome. So, I mean, she was very poised and a very impressive young lady.
Did the crowd go nuts, by the way?
Yeah. One of those pictures, you could see a guy holding his hat up, you know.
Yeah.
And she was the hometown hero for sure. Yeah.
She definitely earned her queen
title.
She
should have won
that
rodeo.
Absolutely.
She should have been Rodeo Queen of America for all that was done. Well, thank you so much for joining us. We really appreciate it. And we're going to let you go, but we appreciate you joining us. Thanks a bunch, David.
All right.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. Bye.
Okay, we're going to take a little break here for our title sponsor of the day, and that's Horseware.
In the world of horse racing and elite equestrian sports, it's all about how to prepare and repair. Ice5 is a truly portable and highly efficient circulation therapy system for your horse. Before activity, prepare to prevent damage by using the Ice5's vibration pads. Repair after the event by using the unique combination of cold packs and vibration to minimize swelling and encourage blood flow. And because it's battery powered, Ice5 is truly portable. The essential and affordable tool to prepare and repair. Ice5.
You can find out more details about Ice Vibe at ice-vibe.com or horseware.com, or ask your local tack shop or online supplier for more information about Ice Vibe circulation therapy from Horseware. Well, our next guest, Sissy Smith King, is president of the Western Oklahoma Ranch Horse Association, and she has done it all in the horse world: a trick rider, bull rider, bareback rider, barrel racer, rodeo photographer. She has competed and performed in South Africa and all over the U.S. She's 73 years young and is still competing with her daughters and riding her cutting horse, I'll Be Shining. Good morning, Sissy. Thanks for joining us today.
Good morning from Oklahoma.
Well, I'm so glad that you're here. And now, did I read this right, that you were a bull rider?
Well, I rode bulls in all-girl rodeos.
Really?
That's awesome.
Yeah. A little adrenaline rush.
I bet.
Which were harder, the bulls or the bareback?
Well, some would say the bulls, which I think it's the bulls, because you don't have a pickup man to come get you off.
You've got to
come off by yourself.
One way or another, you're hitting the ground.
Right.
And in bareback riding, if you can hang on, the pickup man will come get you.
Right. Come around and pick you up.
How old were you when you started that, and how did your parents feel about that?
Well, actually, my parents had already passed on that time. My husband was a all-around cowboy, Mark Smith, rodeo clown, bullfighter. And we practiced bull riding with some of his friends in our barn with a bucking barrel.
Of course,
we get on there and play with it. So I just decided to go to some of these all-girl rodeos and see what I could do. I roped, tied calves, and he said I could ride bulls. We said, don't get on the barebacks. And I entered it on the way up there with some friends. And then I told him I won the buckle.
Let me ask you, were you drinking on the way to the rodeo?
No, I actually wasn't.
Okay, good. No alcohol involved. We're glad to hear that.
By the way, it seems like things are at times, so we'll just do that.
What did he say after you did it?
Well, he was pretty proud of me afterwards, you know, after I didn't come back all crippled up. I did that for quite a few years after the initial break-in.
So he was okay with it after that?
It was
that?
Fun. Yeah.
You've done so many things in life. Tell us a little bit about South Africa. How did you end up riding there?
Well, like I said, my husband was an all-around cowboy. He did all the events, and I did too. And also, I was a trick rider, and they were trying to find 25 Americans to present rodeo in South Africa. And our name came up, and we got selected, and we both got to go, you know, a chance of a lifetime. On the way over there, we got to tour Brussels, Belgium, and then we had to stop in Leopoldville, Africa, which was a kind of a hot spot where men were standing around with AK-47s and airplanes were ready to, you know, it was a war place. So we couldn't take pictures or anything while we were fueling up there. And then we went on to Johannesburg, and we had a lot of fun while we was there. The people loved us, treated us like celebrities, giving autographs. It was kind of a first for me.
Was this the first time that really South Africa was introduced to the American version of rodeo at that point?
At that point, yes. Yes.
And have they embraced it now, South Africa?
I don't know. Not being around anybody in touch with them. Yeah. I don't know.
Well, I wonder. I'll have to find that out.
It was fun.
I bet. Did you get to do the safaris and everything while you were there?
Get to do what? Oh, no, I didn't.
Okay.
No, I really wanted to go to the diamond mines.
True cowgirl right there.
Yeah, cowgirl's got to have some bling, you know?
Yeah, we got to have that bling. I thought, boy, I'll put it on my belt.
Heck yeah.
Yeah, why not?
Tell us about the Western Oklahoma Ranch Horse Association. I assume I know what they do, but fill us in.
We're chartered with the American Ranch Horse Association out of Kentucky, ARHA, and we're chartered with them, and we have herd work. They offer so many events. I mean, we can't do all of them without having a week-long show, so we pick the ones that we think go over good, which is herd work, which is much like cutting that you see, NCHA cutting. It's similar that you can get up three cows out to cut. We have ranch cutting, which you pick a cow and you cut it for about a minute, and then you take it down and you pin it in a pen. And then we have boxing, where you have to stay on one side of, or one end of the arena, and keep that calf on that side of the arena. And so you're working back and forth across the back of the arena. We have a ranch trail, where we put up obstacles. You might have to open a gate, close it, rope a dummy steer, trot over logs, back through logs, load up in a trailer. The obstacles change every time we have a show, so that you don't get used to it. And we have ranch pleasure, it's much like the on the rail, judging people on the rail, doing the walk, trot, and canter. We just have a lot of fun, and it's based on one horse, one rider doing it all, because that's what the ranch horse would do. If you were out on a ranch, you might have to do all of those things.
So it's kind of like the pentathlon of ranch horses. They have to do a whole bunch of different activities.
Right.
You know, Oklahoma, too, has to, I mean, your ranch population is much higher than a lot of states. And, of course, all the world championships seem to be coming to Oklahoma now. You guys are really becoming the hotbed for Western sport.
Yes, the ranch horse events, it's one of the fastest growing venues for equine sport anywhere, because of all the events you can do on one horse. And what it's based on is one rider, one horse doing it all.
So the numbers of entries have been going up, not down?
Right, and the charters are growing. And I mean, we're kind of struggling because we're brand new, you know, getting this introduced to everybody. And every show we pick up new members, and they're just elated at, you know, loving all the events that we have and what we offer them. And we give away a High Point Horse Award. That's horse that gets the most points. And we also give away an all-around award, where you, as a contestant, you pick two non-cow events and two cow events before the show starts. And then the most points, the one that gets the most points in what they've chosen, wins the all-around.
That's very cool. And I know that you're still competing, you know, at the young age of 73.
Oh, yeah, I just got through. Yeah, we just had our last show for the year this past weekend. Yes, I still, and the weekend before, we were in Amarillo, Texas, at a Ranch Horse Versatility Show with AQHA. And my horse tried me out pretty good there at Amarillo.
Jennifer?
I got the wildest cow I've ever had. And he, my horse just tells me, Mom, I have this.
You, I got this. On. You just sit there. You just stay on.
Yeah. You just hold on.
Now, your two daughters ride as well?
Yes, I show with my two daughters. Stacy, my youngest daughter, she's 50, and she is quite a cowgirl. Let me tell you, I told her when I grow up, I want to be just like her. My oldest daughter is Bobby. She's 53. She'll be 54 in October. We were at a cow camp. Three weeks ago. That we were putting on, teaching people these events. And she was coming down a hill and stepped in a hole, and I mean, broke her leg, her ankle. Ugh. So she's out of commission till next year.
Ugh. And just for a stupid thing like that.
We're supposed to get hurt on the horse, not in a hole.
Right. You need to make a much more dramatic.
It's not a.
You need to kick that up a little bit.
Now,
I have a quick question, Misty. Are the events with the Western Oklahoma Ranch Horse Association, I'm so proud of myself that I can say that on the first try, are they open to so all breeds, or is this, or do you have to have a quarter horse, or are some shows open and some shows not?
They recognize Mustangs, you know, the registered Mustangs, Appaloosas, Palominas, the Buckskin Association. I think there's two of them and two Palominas, as well as quarter horses, Paints, Pintos. POAs.
I was just going to say, how about the POAs?
He has a POA.
Yes, because they are really good cow horses.
Have you tried cows with yours, Brooke?
I do cattle sorting with her.
Oh, cool.
And it took a little bit.
They're great.
She did. Let me tell you, when I first did it, though, it took everything in me to get her to even just go near the cow.
Yeah.
Because she wanted nothing to do with it, but... But now she moves. Yeah, now she moves them pretty good. She pins her ears, and I go in.
She
and
can get bossy and be permitted to do it. At home, she gets in trouble for being bossy. Yeah. Now, tell us, you had such an interesting life. You were also a trick rider. Were you doing rodeos with that too?
Yes, me and a friend of mine named Lenore Moore. She was trick riding, and I asked her to come over my house and teach me how to trick ride, and she did, and then we started contracting rodeos together and doing trick riding.
That's very
cool.
We
did that for a few years. Now it's a trick to ride.
Now, have you ever fallen?
That's a trick to ride. That's a good line. I have to remember that.
I'm a joke.
I'm going to steal that, sissy. Sorry.
Yeah, steal that one.
Now, I've seen videos and I've seen, you know, pictures of trick riders, and I mean, it's hard, and you've got to have some good balance and, you know, really have the trust in the horse. Have you fallen, you know, trying to...
Yeah, finding a good horse that you can trust is probably the hardest part. The rest of it, once you learn the technique of going into the trick and coming out of it, I mean, I'm not going to say it's easy, but it's not as hard actually as it looks. It just takes a little nerve.
Right,
to trust and trusting yourself too.
A little nerve coming from a woman who rode bulls. You know, I don't know. That's a little nerve. Hell, a lot more nerve than I've got. So let's just say a lot of nerve.
Maybe you really need to be a little bit crazy.
Yes.
Well, sissy, you're an inspiration to everybody coming after you, and you know what? It sounds like your horse, I'll Be Shining, takes good care of you now.
He does. Oh my goodness, he's training me. I mean,
and we never stop learning, do we? We never stop learning.
You never know, and that's the reason we have clinics, and I still go to clinics, and I tell everybody in our association, clinic, 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 because you never get through learning a new technique, a new way, or a better way to train your horse, or a better way to ride him.
Do you want to learn mounted archery?
Yeah, it's, Brooke does mounted archery, so there you go. There's a new one.
Yeah. I say it's like golf. You never get through learning that.
That's right. I bet you if I went to Oklahoma and talked to any ranch person in Oklahoma and said Sissy Smith King, they know exactly who I'm talking about.
No kidding.
Yeah.
Wow. I can't hide. Huh? Oh, man.
You're a treat. You can find the Western Oklahoma Ranch Horse Association at wokrha.org. They're also on Facebook under Western Oklahoma Ranch Horse Association. We will post links to that at our Facebook page at Horses in the Morning. Sissy, you're a delight. Thank you so much for coming on with us.
Thank you for calling me.
All right. Take care, Sissy.
I loved it.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye.
She's a trooper.
I love her.
God, I hope at 73 I'm still as funky as she is.
I need to jump in here quick, guys.
Oh, you know what, Jennifer? I was told I should have. I'm sorry. I apologize.
You were bad.
I was.
And
bad.
The website for the Western Oklahoma Ranch Horse Association is okranchhorse.org.
Okay,
that was the wrong link
one.
That they had in the show
okay.
notes to you.
Okranchhorse.org. Very good. Yes. And I apologize,
or you
Jennifer.
Can get, you can
I
find
them
on Facebook as Western Oklahoma Ranch Horse Association. I said it again.
You can give her a call back quick. I know you had a question for her.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks a lot to her for coming on. That was a lot of fun. Well, you know, blanket season is coming up quick here, people. Not so much here in Florida. It's still 92 degrees and humid. But I know some parts of the country, I see snow out in Colorado. Matter of fact, Brooke, you were out in Colorado the same time we were.
Oh, man. You got to definitely have an extended trip and enjoy it. But yeah, Estes Park, Colorado.
Oh, it's beautiful.
Oh, I loved
it. That's the most beautiful town I've ever seen, the way it sits there.
I want to go back tomorrow.
And you got wind trail riding in the Rocky Mountains, too.
I did. Yeah, I'll give a shout out to Cowpoke Corner Corral. I did a 2-hour trail ride there right in Estes Park. And if I could go back right now and do it again, I would.
You
beautiful.
Look like, yeah, every time you come around a corner, it's a new vista. It's
oh my gosh,
beautiful.
It was amazing. And I got to see an elk because I almost hit him with my rental car. That was my sightseeing for the elk. As I was leaving the trail ride, it was dark and raining. And here comes this giant bull elk from my left right in front of my car. And thank God, you know, he didn't hit me. But then he stood on the side and bugled. And that was the first time that I've ever heard.
It's not at all what you expected, is it?
No.
It wasn't for us either.
No. And I was like that crazy tourist that pulled off to the side of the road. And I like have my head out the window and I'm just listening to him and watching him. And it was amazing. So I'm glad that I got to see one, you know, before I left and had to come back. But, oh, that was beautiful.
And if you have never heard that before, I have it here. It is so high pitched. Didn't you expect a deep throaty because they're so big?
Yes.
Yeah, and their racks are like
right, huge. And then it's, you know, it echoed throughout the mountains. And then I actually tried to find him. So I'm like driving around, I don't know where I'm at, in this little rental car, and I'm like, he's got to be around here because he kept doing it. And I mean, it was just so loud.
It is.
But
it
was
amazing.
We
could hear it from miles away, which I guess why it's designed that way.
Right,
it's
right.
It's designed to say, hey, these are my cows. Get the hell away from them. You know, so that's what it's designed to do. I'm in charge here.
He was looking for her.
Yeah, we did see one where he got challenged. He had about 20 cows, and he was grandpa. He had a huge rack.
Wow.
And another one came in that wasn't quite as big and tried to shoo some of the cows off. And
well, because you guys went to the Rocky Mountain National Forest.
Yeah,
okay.
He really wasn't having any parts of that. You know, he was grandpa, shoot him away.
Right, right.
Yeah. So he was alone. And then a couple days later, we saw the same group, and the outlier was still way off in the field all by himself.
Oh, they
bugling in pity. He was just so sad. He didn't have any girls. He hadn't earned them yet.
Right.
Well, you know what? It is winter coming in many parts of the country, and it's going to be here before you know it. Horsewear is the company you want to turn to. They have blankets in your price range. They have Rambo, Rhino, Amigo, Mio, all the different stable blankets and coolers and sheets and heavyweight blankets and combo blankets. You're going to find it all at horsewear.com. So when you're going out
and
for
they have petite blankets.
Oh,
blend.
Yes. Jennifer found this
petite
morning.
Line.
They have a petite line for minis and small ponies.
Oh, how cute.
It is cute. And all the different weights and stuff too, right, Jennifer?
Yes, they have a whole line of petite range, and they have a full coverage with the neck rug and everything. They have stable blankets. They have cute little jersey coolers. And they have a little show blanket for when they're at the horse shows. Because I know the vast majority of minis, when they're being shown, they keep them clipped because they have such naturally fuzzy hair coats. Helps them refine and stay cool and comfortable when they're working hard. So your minis that go showing really do need jammies. And it's a great place to go at Horsewear.
Horsewear.com. You'll find all the different blanket options there, and we're excited to announce that they're going to be doing a series with us starting next week. They got some of the best grooms in the world, and you'll know who they are when you hear them starting next week, and they're going to be doing some winter grooming tips to begin the winter here. So you're going to be hearing from some of the best grooms in the business on some winter grooming tips and how to take care of the horses in the winter time. All sponsored by Horsewear. Visit them at horsewear.com. You can, of course, find all of their blankets everywhere you go, and they have a complete, they have a where to buy section on their website, so you can find a local store, or you can order them online at any of the major retailers. Thank you to Horsewear for sponsoring today's Western episode. We're going to take a break for a song. I have a little Marianne Kennedy for you, and we haven't heard this song in a while. It is Green on Green. We'll be back in just a minute. We have two more guests coming up. We're not done with Western Day. There's a whole bunch of Western to talk about. And Brooke is doing such a good job here. And I'm glad she didn't bring her bow and arrow along, because I'd be in trouble. I'd be the target.
Green on green makes black and blue. Wouldn't ride that horse if I were you. It's like walking on a hot, tight wire. Dynamite too close to fire. Today you might get off scot-free, but chances are eventually he'll go up, you come down. That's when you'll understand this song. I can't tell you what to do, but green on green makes black and blue. If I were you, he's your first and he's only two. Haven't you heard? Take my word. Green on green makes black and blue. If I were you, it's like walking on a hot, tight wire. Dynamite too close to fire. Today you might get off scot-free, but chances are eventually you go up, you come down. That's when you'll understand this song. I can't tell you what to do, but green on green makes black and blue.
International Podcast Day is September 30th, and you can help spread the word. International Podcast Day is dedicated to promoting podcasting worldwide. You may be asking, what can I do to get involved? It's pretty simple. First, head over to internationalpodcastday.com and check the suggestions. Second, use hashtag Podcast Day to join in the conversation. Remember September 30th. Now, let's start the conversation.
That's right. International Podcast Day is coming up on Friday, and we need your help. We would like you to help to spread the word about the Horse Radio Network. We're putting some artwork together that we'll have available on all our Facebook pages that you'll be able to just share it. We want you to tell everybody about it at work or at the barn, wherever you go that day on Friday. We want you to do it every day, but specifically Friday for International Podcast Day. Spread the word. If each of you tells five people, we will triple triple or quadruple our audience in one day. And the easiest way to do that is don't go say, I have this podcast I listen to. Go say, I have this online radio show I listen to. It's very simple. It's easy. You go online. You can listen to it there, or you download the Horse Radio Network's free app at iOS or Android app stores. Just download the free app. Just go Horse Radio Network. It's so simple and easy to listen to the shows. It's on demand. Tell them how much you love them. Take their phone out of their hand. Download the app for them. Do whatever you have to get them listening. So we appreciate your help. That's on Friday, and we'll have banners for you to share on Facebook as well. So look for those. And let's see here what else we have coming up. Jamie will be back here tomorrow. Of course, Horses in the Morning is here Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. Eastern Time. And we do have really bad ads coming up this week. But Friday, because it is International Podcast Day, and oh, by the way, it just so happened, and we didn't arrange it this way, that is also our 5,000th episode here on Horse Radio Network. We're probably only one, best we can tell, we're only one of about 5 or 10 networks, podcast networks in the world that have hit 5,000 episodes. So we're going to have a party here on Friday with the first guest. The only guest we have on Friday is the writer for the TV show. Now I lost it. Jennifer will tell us what the TV show is, but we have a writer on Friday, and then we're going to take calls the rest of the hour. So we will take calls the whole rest of the show. We'll do some really bad ads at the end, but we want to hear from you. Call us, tell us about when you started listening to podcasts, you know, what you like about them, what you don't like about them, whatever. We just want to hear from you. If you're just calling to say hi, that's fine. We want to hear from as many of our listeners as possible on Friday on our 5,000th episode. Because it is quite an achievement. So we look forward to chatting with you then. Jennifer, what is the writer? What's the show on Friday that the writer's coming on to talk about? Why can't I never, I cannot remember it right now? Oh, I'm not sure Jennifer is there. Jennifer, are you there?
I am now.
Okay. So what's the show?
The book is The Perfect Horse and the author is Elizabeth Lutz.
No. Friday we have a writer coming on the show about the TV show.
Heartland.
Right? Thank you very much.
Yeah.
So she's coming on. I know we have a lot of Heartland fans in the audience who were just screaming at their phones just now. Sorry about that. And Jamie's been adamantly watching it, so we're going to get the writer on and find out how that show came to be on Friday's show. And then calls from you. We want to hear from you on International Podcast Day and also our 5,000th episode here on the Horse Radio Network. Now, real quick, tell everybody that are new listeners to the show, Brooke, what is a horse holster?
The horse holster is the safest way to carry your cell phone and other small items with you while you're riding your horse. So it's designed so that you have all of those personal items on you, not your horse. So if your horse decides to leave you behind out somewhere on the trail or wherever you're riding, you have your phone with you.
And so, it is nice. It straps around your leg.
It's designed to go around your thigh, but it can actually also be looped through two belt loops. We have a lot of customers that are, and we actually have customers that wear it on the arm. It can be manipulated to go around the arm. So it's really good to see, you know, different ways that our customers are wearing it, but it's been used for primarily to carry your cell phone. We have a couple riders that actually put a little thing of mace in it. We've had riders that say, you know, we've got bears and, you know, so we need something, you know, to help us with that just in case. Horse treats. It can be used to hold horse treats. So it's made out of water-resistant neoprene. It's got a little zipper pocket in the front of it. So if you trailer to a park and you want to take your truck key with you, this way, you know, you don't have to worry about shoving it in your pocket and stabbing your leg. So it's easier, you know, you can have it right there in the pocket. You can carry your ID if you want to have that with you. We have riders that go through drive-throughs. So they want to take their money or their, you know, credit card, trail permit, trail map, you know, all the Coggins. If you do an event, you need to have your Coggins with you. So it's definitely convenient, you know, having those items right by your side as well as a safety feature.
And you know it's not going to fly out. That's
exactly.
Yeah.
Yep.
Some of these phones are bigger now. Will they fit the bigger phone?
They will fit every. Yep. So we've got two designs. Our XL design is specifically designed
Samsung
to
Note?
Fit the monster phones. Yes.
And my big one?
Yes. Yes. the XL will fit every phone case combination out there. I personally have the iPhone 6 Plus.
So even the OtterBox will
yep.
fit in it?
Yep, yeah. I have a 6 Plus with an OtterBox Defender case, which is huge. It's
Yeah, your phone is big.
It's huge. Yeah. And so I designed it specifically so that it would fit every option. But because it's like a spongy neoprene, even if you have a smaller phone or you don't have a case on your phone, it actually acts as an extra layer of protection for your phone as well. So, and it's, you know, simple Velcro closure, so it but it's strong. That Velcro keeps it shut. So
you have
even
a ton of fans.
Thank you.
I mean, this thing is really taken off.
Well, you know, and when I started it, I had a thigh holster that I rode with that I somehow miraculously stretched to fit my iPhone 4 at the time, because that was, you know,
that was big then.
That was big then. It's yeah. it's so weird. If I try and go back to my iPhone 4, it's I can't do
it.
We
had just come off of flip phones.
Right, right. So, you know, and now I can't even look at my iPhone 4 and I can't see it.
I just too but, small, yeah.
But I had a carrier that was designed for a flip phone. And I shoved my iPhone 4 in it. It was half hanging out. You know, the Velcro barely held it shut. But I rode with that for 4 years. And then I finally just, I don't know, like this light bulb went off. And I said, is there nothing, you know, bigger? Because as my phone got bigger, I didn't, then I kind of lost the option to carry it anywhere else, but, you know, in a safe spot. So I'd have to shove it in my pocket or in my boot or, you know, in your under the saddle. There's so many places now that, you know, everybody says, well, now I don't have to, you know, keep
and it should not
keep
be attached to your saddle
there.
Right.
Well, yeah. And if it's
it
in your saddle,
right,
then your horse does leave you. And, yeah. you know, I've actually had a lot of customers call in and share their personal stories where they fell and were badly injured.
And the horse went home.
And the horse left. And actually pretty severe. I had a customer say that she punctured, she broke a rib and it punctured her skin so much that she was bleeding very badly. And thank God. Thank God she was able to actually crawl and get help. But she didn't have, you know, her phone on her. And she said, this is the biggest reason why I'm buying your product is because if this happens again, you know, I could have.
That's all the testimonial you need.
Right. So, you know, it's
where can people buy them?
You can buy them on thehorseholster.com.
And a ton of stores now, too.
Yes. Yep. We are in 56 stores in the U.S. We also have a store in Australia.
Yay!
Yeah, so it's getting out there. You can also find the list of stores on our website as well.
And
colors
and all kinds of fun colors.
We have five different colors, five different solid colors.
Do you have
tie
dyed ones? Because I want to get Jamie one of those for Christmas.
We don't have the tie dye yet.
Okay,
I'm looking.
She said she wanted a wacky. She wanted one of these, and I want to get her a crazy one.
We've got the pattern one that we have right now is our Muddy Girl camo, which is like that bright pink, bright purple, black, and it's a camo pattern.
She hates hunting, so that'll be perfect. I'll get her that.
Oh, perfect.
Yeah, that'll be.
Yeah,
perfect.
And we'll pick one. Because each pattern's different, so we'll pick
right.
like one with the craziest of
yeah,
like the purple
right. like
and
that.
The pink together.
All right, I'll be
yeah.
ordering one of those. All right, your next guest is ready.
So we've got Joe Williams. He's actually local here, right in Ocala, Florida, and we're excited to have him on the show. Welcome, Joe.
Hi, thank you very much for having me this morning.
You're welcome. So I know that you do a little bit of horse training and you're, you know, big into the horse world here locally. So if you'd like to just kind of explain, you know, a little bit of your background and how you came to Florida. I know that you moved to Ocala when you were just a teenager, correct?
Yeah, I was about 17 when I moved here from Chicago. You know, I grew up there, you know, I was big into sports and, you know, that's pretty much the only thing that really kept me in school, you know, was that I was good at baseball and this and that. And, it wasn't till, my little sister actually that, my parents bought her a pony, you know, his name was Snow King. I'll never forget him, but, she was the one that was, you know, a little Miss Diehard horse girl. And I saw just how much fun she was having, her and her friends, and, you know, just going to do stuff like, you know, kind of like what I was doing with my sports. You know, well, I went one or two times to watch her, and, you know, I was bit by the bug. You know, I was really, really lucky to have the guy that actually owned the farm, Greg Rhodes. He is the guy that actually took me in and was like, well, if you want to learn how to ride, I'll teach you.
Well, that's awesome.
It wasn't long before, you know, the horses meant more than me, the sports, and, you know, and then I started lying and ditching practice to go to
ride
at the barn. So I started getting benched and watching everybody else play and me sitting on the bench. So that wasn't much fun for long. So I pretty much gave that up real quick. And once I started working with horses, it just came so natural. You know, both me and my little sister, you know, the talent she had from the very beginning. You know, she was a young girl. She was only about maybe 9 or 10.
Okay.
You know, and just took off running, you know, jumping 3 foot, doing horse shows, doing everything, you know, that I wanted to do, you know. And it wasn't long before, you know, I saw a guy there, you know, getting taken off with and getting bucked off. And he got bucked off about 3 times. And I asked Greg, I was like, I want to learn how to ride like that. And, you know, and
there
I am in
that.
My tall boots and my breeches, you know, getting on this horse that just bucked this teenager off that was much older than me, maybe 19. I was about 12, 13. And there I am in my helmet, breeches, and tall boots, just getting ridden, bucked around. I got bucked off probably 3 or 4 times. You know, every time I came off, I just ran, grabbed the horse, and grabbed mane and swung back on. And, you know, by the 4th time, I figured out how to ride that horse, you know, how to stay on. And it was like an adrenaline rush that I couldn't get enough of. You know, and it just took off from there. You know, the guy that I was working with, you know, he saw a lot in me and took, God bless him, because I was not I mean, especially in my younger teenage years, I was so impatient and so like off the walls, you know, and every kind of medicine that you could put a kid on, you know, just to get them to focus and pay attention, you know. And it was the horses that got me off all of it. You know, they really saved my life.
Well, that's interesting, Joe. Joe, a lot of young guys like that get into horses because there's hot girls. Was that another motivation?
And that's also another. That's a plus.
Yeah.
That's where I met my wife. The people I grew up with were snowbirds. So we would come down for the winter, and there was a big horse show that we used to board at and compete at. And Toby, my wife now, was working there, and we met there and fell in love and been together for 13 years now.
Awesome. And so we'll talk a little more about that. And I want to also talk a little about Katie and have you speak more about the event that we have coming up for her. But first, we actually learned that you just won a challenge recently, the Ultimate Horseman's Challenge that was just recently in Georgia. Is that right?
Yes, ma'am. Yes, it's actually, I've been breaking horses for almost 15 years now, and never once have I done something like this, you know, where you get a horse it's not an untouched horse. It had been handled, halter broke, you know, feet trimmed, little things like that.
Okay.
But by no means were these horses trained, you know, all four of us. It was Taylor McIntosh, Joyce Lewis, and Kevin Graham. And all four of us got a untouched, unbroke mare, everybody has their preferences. I actually love mares, you know, especially when I want them to give me their all.
Right,
you know?
I have one. I'm with you. I have one too.
Exactly.
Can you explain
the competition itself?
Okay,
go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, I was just going to say for anybody listening that isn't familiar with what that challenge entails.
Well, it was really cool because if you're at all familiar with like the Road to the Horse, which if you're not, you get a unbroke horse, and then you're judged on your horsemanship. You know, getting it started, preparing it for what you're gonna do with it in the next couple sessions. You know, and you only get an hour each session, so you really have to kind of pick and choose what you're going to go with, you know. So, and this was a big learning experience for me, especially because it was my first time, you know, and I was going up against guys like Taylor McIntosh. You know, he does this very regularly, like at least every other month he's driving around the country doing a colt starting somewhere. But the colt starting challenge itself was set up just to show people up front and in personal, you know, what we do to get these horses so gentle, you know, and it doesn't take the harsh treatment or the exhaustion and making the horse just depleted. You know, it's really amazing because it's a lot. If you go on their website or their Facebook, you know, the Ultimate Horseman's Challenge. It has a lot of pictures and a breakdown of pretty much everything that we're doing. And it's really cool to watch. It's just the three hours of training, and we have horses walk, trot, cantering, jumping, going, maneuvering through obstacles.
Wow.
You know, my horse, I got her to do a lead change, you know, just by staying out of her way, you know, and letting her do what a horse does naturally.
Right.
You know, and it was really amazing to watch the other trainers. I was completely blown away.
Well, Joe, we're the official radio network for Road to the Horse, so we're very familiar with that, and we cover
Absolutely.
It every year. It's amazing
to
watch.
That's my goal, is to be on it.
I bet. That's everybody's goal, I think, that's a colt starter.
Absolutely.
That's like the Super Bowl of colt starting, is Road
Absolutely.
To the Horse. Well, now, tell us a little bit about Katie and who Katie is and what happened and why we're doing a ride for Katie.
Katie is just, I mean, I don't even know where to start. You know, she's a girl that everybody loves. You don't need to know her just to know that she's just a really good person. You know, she gives to you and doesn't expect nothing.
And she's your, you know, is this there. She the same little sister you were talking about earlier?
Yes, this is Katie, my little sister that got me into horses. So that's okay. Why I try to do as much as I can, you know, to kind of get her name out there and get people to, you know, see who the kind of person she is.
Well, tell us what happened.
You know, she,
for those that don't know.
Well, she was in a very bad car accident. She was driving was going through an intersection, and someone ran a red light and T-boned right into the side, into the driver door.
Ugh.
And where most people like would not survive, which Katie had to be revived on the scene. She, you know, she's pulling through like nothing I've ever seen. You know,
wow.
She has her ups and downs, but like she can't talk. She's not eating.
It's been a year, right?
It's not quite a year.
Okay.
The accident itself was on March 19th.
Okay.
And she's in neuro rehab right now, where she's been for almost 3.5 months. And it's been just an up and down road for her. You know, she gets 5 steps ahead and takes 3 steps back. You know, just with the brain injury that she had, it's hard right now. It's really, she's going through a hard time right now, and it's very overwhelming seeing the people come together, you know, to support her.
Yeah, and that, boy, that's got to be tough as you as a brother too.
Oh man, and just yeah. I mean, it's nothing compared to what she's going through, but right. it's hard with your hands tied behind your back. Absolutely.
Yeah, you feel helpless. I mean, you want to.
You
help.
Are. All you can do is pray.
Yeah,
it's all you can do is pray.
So, what are you guys doing here in Ocala? And this is coming up. I know it's on October the 16th at the Ocala Rodeo Grounds, but you're doing something called a Ride for Katie.
Yes, sir. It's a barrel race that a couple local girls, friends of Katie's, Kayla Stevens and Mandy Amos, Mandy Amos is, she's known for putting on barrel races and helping people. You know, she's done a couple of these, you know, at people in situations where they need help. So her and Kayla got together, and they've been just going at it full throttle, you know, trying to get sponsors, getting people to donate. We got a bunch of trainers that are donating their time and their training abilities to Katie's silent auction. So there's so much stuff going on there that it not just horse people are coming through, like auto mechanics offering, you know, just their services, clothing lines offer, you know, it's overwhelming seeing the people that really don't even know Katie. A lot of the people that don't even have any clue on who she is, they just hear her story and just kind of talk to some people that know her, and they just feel obligated to help, you know, because of who she is.
I can imagine, you know, that the medical bills are out of this world.
Unbelievable, you know, and it's not even the medical bills as much as her aftercare, you know, what she's going through right now and,
right.
you know, and what she's going to, when she gets out of rehab and what she's going to have to do, the hurdle she's going to have to cross when she gets out. It's the financial part's just, I can't even think about it because it's not important. The most important thing is just getting her back on her feet.
Right.
You know, we want to see her back in the saddle, turning and burning.
Now, I was just going to say, do you have a contact name or information you can share with us, just so if anybody's listening is interested in doing this event or making a donation, so they can contact Kayla or Mandy.
Kayla Stevens, yes, and there's also a GoFundMe for Katie Williams that's going on right now. It's that my sister Gina is doing for her. Gina Martinez. I'm sorry, she's just recently married. Gina Martinez.
Okay.
All right, we'll post a link. What we'll do too, because you know we a very small part of our audience lives here in Ocala, so we'll post a link to it on our Facebook page to the GoFundMe.
Awesome.
And you know, hopefully we can, some of the listeners can, if they can, donate a little bit toward Katie.
That would be amazing.
October, and I know that Brooke is giving some of her product.
We're going to be donating a bunch of holsters for the raffle. So
that's so awesome. Thank you so much.
Oh, not a problem. Not a problem. And I will do the same thing as well on my Facebook page. I'll do a link to the event. Since I'm local here, I'm not too far from the Ocala Rodeo Grounds, and then I'll also do a link to the GoFundMe page too, and see if we can get some more people to come out and support it.
Awesome! It's going to be a big deal. There's a lot of people already coming, and it's going to be a good time.
Are we going to have a video feed so Katie can see what's going on?
We're hoping that we can arrange it to where we're going to have Katie there.
Awesome.
We're really trying, and we're giving her something to look forward to, because she's been really down, you know, just realizing that it's so far, her coming home is so far away, and you know, so we're trying to get something going on where we can get her out of there just for the day, even, you know, to give her some hope, you know, and let her see some people. And so that's what we're really praying, that she can get it together to where we can do that.
Well, I'm wishing you the best, and we hope she gets there. I know that would mean a world to her, and would help her for the next 3 months of rehab to get through it.
Absolutely,
just having that little bit of contact and a lot of love,
and seeing everybody there and showing their support for her.
Yeah. Well,
and she's so far away from Ocala. That's the hardest part, is that we have her 2 hours away, you know, so that makes it difficult for us to go there as much as we need to. But there are the people that are just diehards and are there for her and going at, and they're there for pretty much every other day. She's got someone there.
And enough going on in your life, Joe Williams, you're going to be changing diapers soon, I hear.
Yes.
Oh my gosh. I can't wait.
Boy or girl, or do you not know?
It's a girl.
Yay!
No, it's a girl, Lainey Joe.
Oh, you have a new barrel racer coming up.
Oh, yes.
Yes, absolutely. I told Katie, I was like, I hope you rubbed off on your little niece. I hope she's as strong as you are.
When's she due?
Any day, really. October, mid-October is the due date. She's ready.
Oh, good timing, everybody, with the whole October 16th rodeo fundraiser.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So that might be the day.
No, that will be the day. You can count on it.
And Colby, my wife, was just with me for this Ultimate Horseman's Challenge, and she gets, I mean, she's a trooper. Not very many women would do what she did, you know, driving 6 hours away to go chase a belt buckle.
Oh, well, wow.
I love her.
Congratulations on last weekend, and, you know, good job for being a great older brother, too.
Definitely.
Well, thank you. I know she would do the same for me. I know in my heart she would.
Well, we wish her the best, and we're hoping that this fundraiser works out really well for you.
Oh, thank you so much.
All right. Thanks, Joe.
Thanks, Joe.
Thank you. No problem. Thank you guys very much for having me.
And you know what? We'll see you at Road to the Horse someday. We'll be commentating for you down there in the ring.
Sounds good to me.
All right, Joe. See you.
Sounds great. All right. Thank you very much.
Bye. You're welcome.
Bye.
Bye.
Wow, what a story, huh? What a good older brother.
You know. And I've only been, you know, in this area for 8 months, but I was at another fundraiser that they did at Ocala Rodeo Grounds. And it really, I mean, the group of people that have come, you know, even from surrounding counties in Florida, it really has been amazing to see the support. And like he said, people that, you know, don't even know that person, or, you know, are just friends of friends, and they want to come out and help. And so it's good.
Well, we just had Joe Williams on, who breaks colts and was trying to help his little sister out, who was in a really, really bad accident. And now we switch gears to one of my co-hosts here on Horses in the Morning, who was doing a little colt breaking of her own and had some rather dramatic pictures that she showed everybody. This is Mary Kitzmiller. She's out at the Tacoma, Washington, at the Central Washington State Fair, and apparently she's invented a horse balloon, because it looks like she was flying one of those in these pictures. Hi, Mary.
Hi, how are you doing?
Good. A horse balloon. You've invented a new thing.
Oh, I know. Yes, yes. She's a bit airborne there. For,
yeah.
For a day
just
or two.
A bit.
Yeah.
So, Mary, you went out there. Tell us a little bit about the Central Washington State Fair. Is the food good?
Oh, yes. It is very good. I tried to start a diet when I was here, but I don't know what I was thinking.
Because my brown pen is right.
Yeah. My brown pen is right next to the corn dogs and deep fried whatever.
Oh, Oreos, Twinkies. Do they have Snicker bars? I hear that's like the new.
I think so.
Funnel cakes, yes, do me in. Funnel cakes. Oh, they're so good. All right, Mary, off of food and on to horses. So what are you doing there as far as demonstrations and things?
And this is in Yakima, Washington, and, this is my second year here, and the first year, I got this job, another clinician who was doing it wasn't able to do it that year, and I actually got a call to do this when I was boarding a plane to Poland to start colts, and they said, do you want to come do the Central Washington State Fair? And I said, sure. And so they have me, a round pen that is set up. It's on the midway, and I'm doing 3 demos a day for 10 days of the fair, and 2 of those demos, I'm starting 2 colts out here. It's what I did last year as well. And then the third one, I usually grab out one of my horses and do different tricks and things like that. And it's a really interesting atmosphere because it's not like a horse expo or a clinic where it's all horse people learning about horses. It's people coming to the fair. So, you know, trying to make it interesting for them as well.
Judging by the pictures of the first day, it was very interesting for them.
Yeah. This, this group of colts is, it's similar to last year. They're a different ranch, but they're ranch-raised colts. So they have not been off the ranch in their lives. They only had, a couple of days of halter breaking. And then I lead them across the fair midway to this round pen and just start riding them. And so the first day, that little particular filly that I posted pictures of, she's a really nice horse. And she was clocking her along, doing everything perfect and, just real gentle and paying attention. And I thought, I'm just going to put a saddle on her. So she stood just beautifully for the saddle. And I moved her out a couple of steps with the saddle. I don't like to just saddle them and rip the cinch up and then let her go and whip them around the round pen and see what happens. I try. They're allowed to buck. I'm not upset if they do. I don't judge, I don't hold it against them. I don't make any kind of judgments on them. But I try to talk them out of it if possible. So I let her walk out a few steps either way. She's just real calm. And then all of a sudden she said, oh, there's a saddle on me. And I didn't realize that. And she got a little airborne. And my job in that situation is just to stay alive. That's it. Stay alive and work my way through it. And she tried that for about 2 days, and then she realized that, she doesn't have to be in the air all the time.
Mary, there's a reason you're not married. No husband could watch you do this and stay sane. And that's coming from a horse husband to watch his wife do eventing. So this is the pictures were very dramatic. I must say, whoever took the pictures did a good job. And it just was just going, she's crazy. I mean, that's what I kept saying to myself. And then you post the pictures 4 days later, you're riding around, no problem.
Oh, yeah, she was. I put her first ride on yesterday. We just walked around, just took a little walk, and she was wonderful. A couple of times I felt her rise up a little bit, and she was thinking about it, and I just pet her and said, don't do it. You're going to be okay. So the good news is, I've just taught her, instead of reacting immediately, if you're unsure, just stop and think a little bit, hit the reset button and we'll try it again. And she's come through really well. She's going to be a great filly.
No, the good news is you're not broken and the horse isn't broken. That's the good news. Because
exactly. Exactly.
And you put on quite a show. Where did they start to gather around when they saw the horse 20 feet in the air?
Yeah, pretty much. Actually, the promoter of the fair, the one who hired me, that was the demo he decided to watch.
Oh, no.
With that one. No, he was happy. He was happy.
So. Yeah, Dad, it's a crowd pleaser anytime that kind of thing happens. This is so funny that they have you right in the midway, like where the roller coaster would be. They have Mary, which has kind of been roller coaster-like. So that's a neat thing they're doing out there. What have you found the reaction of the crowd that's non-horsey? So have they asked any questions? Have you gotten any response from them?
The thing about people at the fair who are not horse people is one of the biggest things that I've noticed is you have to be very vigilant in telling them what's not okay to do around horses. So a couple of things that I have to be really careful of, especially like the first day I'm leading these colts across. They have never been off the ranch in their entire lives, and their halter broke, but I have to have, like the first year, I actually had to have a more gentle horse walking in front of them so they could follow, and I had a person behind them. And then they're still not sure about things. And in the midst of all of that, I'll have people with strollers just trying to like walk right in front of them, or little kids will scream, "Pony!" and just run right up to them. And you have to just sort of say, "Okay, don't touch him. You know, he's," and I have to exaggerate the horse. I have to say, "He's wild. You know, he's really, really wild. And he's never seen a person in his life." So they know to stay back, because if you try to take the time to say, "Oh, he's never really been around people," they'll keep coming. And I really exaggerate the horse, like, you know, "He's never been touched and you need to stay back." And then the other thing that I have to be kind of vigilant about is the children climb the round pen as these colts. You know, "Kids, how's the round pen? Where are your parents?"
"Hey, little girl, do you like your face in one piece, or would you like it smashed?" You know,
Yes. So that's the biggest thing. But other than that, what I'm really, you know, even though they're not horse people, they're not trying to educate themselves on how to start horses or anything like that, they usually, when they stop and watch, they hang around for the whole demo. They're always very interested. They ask good questions. So it's always a very good crowd.
Well, that's very cool. And, you know, we appreciate you stopping by. It looks like you're having fun out there. Eat a funnel cake for us, okay?
For sure.
I don't think that's going to be a problem. And we wish you a safe, uneventful trip back, too. I know you blew a few tires last time, so let's avoid that. Let's not do that again. And just have a nice, quiet...
I got super heavy-duty tires this time.
I bet.
Nothing good. Yes.
I bet you do. Well, Mary, thank you so much for joining us. We'll see you on your show here in a couple of weeks.
All right. See ya.
All right.
Bye, Mary.
Be safe, Mary.
Bye.
I mean, we've had pictures of some crazy horses today.
Yes, we have.
Today's been about horses in the air. It's been that's the theme of the show. Horses not on the ground.
I give so much credit to riders that are on them, working with them. And
that's a skill, Colt.
It definitely is. It really is.
And especially doing it, you know, as Joe mentioned, and Mary does it too, with nonviolence, you know, doing it with a quiet, gentle approach.
Right. And I've seen the other, and I have, and I get it.
We've all witnessed
the other ways, and
it doesn't have to be that way. Right. And that's why we have people like Joe and Mary on the show and Monty and all of them, because we, you know, that's the way we believe that you can be doing this without beating your horse.
Right.
So, So good on them for doing what they do, and thanks to Mary for stopping by. We have quite a full day on the first official Western episode here on Horses in the Morning. Thank you so much for stopping by today.
You're welcome. Went fast, didn't it? It flew by, but this was fun.
Yeah, well, we hope you can stop by again sometime.
Definitely.
Before Christmas, maybe. We'll have you stop
by. Yes. Now that I'm only 25 minutes away.
That's right. You're going to have to come over on Radiothon Day and visit with us for a little while.
Okay.
Because that's a crazy day in here on Radiothon Day. So Cyber Monday, you'll have to stop by. We'll probably be giving away some of your products Cyber Monday anyway. So we'll have to have you stop by.
We'll definitely do a giveaway. So,
all right. Sounds good. Well, thank you, everybody, for joining us tomorrow morning. Jamie will be back. We'll be here at 9 a.m. Don't forget, the easiest way to listen to our show is iOS or Android. Just search for Horse Radio Network in the App Store. Download it. It's free. It's easy. It's the simplest way. You can stream the shows. You can download them to your phone. Either way, there's a ton of other podcast apps out there, including iTunes, that are show is on, and all the shows in the Horse Radio Network are on. We hit episode number 5,000 on Friday, so plan on taking some time to call in 9 to 10:30 Eastern time and say hi. We would love to hear from all of you, our auditors, our listeners, everybody. We're going to try and see if the other hosts can call in from all the other shows. We have 20 hosts now, so we're going to see how many people we can get to call in and how many calls we can take in that hour. We would love to hear from you. And that's it. Brooke, your website again.
TheHorseHolster.com.
TheHorseHolster.com. Get yours today. All right. We'll see everybody. We'll just take us out with that same Western movie music.
Bye, everybody.
All right. See everybody.